This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome here to another Tuesday night here on Manawatu's People Radio, 999 AM. You are here with the Palmy Pride team. I'm Cam.
Kia ora, howdy. Good evening. Hey, oh, she's interrupting now, is she?
Yep, we're here.
Sky's away, Sky's on a pimp culture course.
Yeah.
I asked if there was a mullet culture as well, but apparently not.
No.
On tonight's show, oh, goodness me, you've given me this one and I'm quite excited about it. Mel is a pearly queen bee on her wedding day. Also, Netflix announced the season, the last finale of Queer Eye, which is weird because I've not watched it since they changed the cast. Yes. How about you, Poppet? What have you got?
I've got issues with trans people and now bisexuals not being represented at Stonewall National Monument.
Sorry, you don't have issues with trans people. There is an issue with people not being represented.
And I have an issue with them not being represented.
If they had taken a sound bite from that, it would have sounded like me saying, and what have you got over there? And you have said, I've got issues with trans people.
No.
That's what that sentence could have sounded like.
And this is how messy today is going to be, folks. These guys are away, and so that calmness has just dissipated.
Calmness? I don't know what you're on about.
All right.
I don't know what you're on about.
So what else have we got? We've got the Tasmanians are up in arms.
The devils.
They're demanding urgent action on mental health and law reform. And the UN Council is voting to keep researching anti-LGBTQ abuses.
By that, do you mean Tasmanians as in those who live in Tasmania and Australia?
Yes. Not the devils. Yeah. Tasmanian devils.
Yes.
Well, they look cute, but they're evil. People.
And the Tasmanian devils that we know are not the same as the cartoon one. I'm just clarifying that.
No.
Yeah.
I did hear one once of a woman who got a tattoo of the Tasmanian devil with a lawnmower just above her, so it looked like it was mowing the lawns.
Yes, anyway.
There's never enough medication in the world.
We're going to...
Mel is a pearly queen on her wedding day. I'm just going to do the article. Okay. I'm just going to go straight into it. If you don't know what a pearly queen is, go and look it up. It may be the most traditional choice of colour for a wedding dress. But as many Spice Girl fan will attest, Melanie Brown, that scary spice, is hardly a traditional sort of girl. For the 50-year-old singer and activist, leopard print tends to be in order of the day, night, and every hour in between. So married is Mel B to her beloved leopard print that most fans assumed she would even wear it on her wedding day. And I totally understand. Love me some leopard print. Long story. Those hoping for a racy jungle cat affair by Robert Cavalli or Dolce & Gabbana have been surprised by the singer's somewhat sober, understated choice of a strapless white gown with embroidered pearl detail by British bridal designer Josephine Scott. But then, wait. When you're choosing a wedding venue with St. Paul's Cathedral, one of the most storied and venerable landmarks in London, it pays to adhere to tradition. This is a church that held funerals for Winston Churchill, Jubilee celebrations for Queen Victoria, and peace services marking the end of the First and Second World Wars, not to mention the wedding for Prince Charles and Lady Diana. And we all know how that ended. Sorry. With all things considered, even Mel B likely thought twice about rocking up in animal print. Not just anyone is accorded the privilege of being married at St. Paul's Cathedral, but Brown's MBE, awarded to her in 2022, qualified her as eligible. But it was awarded for her services to charitable causes, in particular her work with Women's Aid, a charity that helps survivors of domestic abuse, one for which she has been a patron since 2018. She has continually used her platform, includes 1.7 million Instagram followers, to raise awareness and encourage women to seek help. Speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos earlier this year, she urged the government to allocate more funding towards supporting victims of domestic violence. Not what I thought the article was going to be on. Am I disappointed? Am I disappointed?
Maybe.
Just a smidge. I thought it was saying that she was going to be a pearly queen. You know, like the ones that wear the shells and the...
Oh, right.
That
right.
English tradition from, like, Mary Poppins. But no. Let's go to a song. Disappointed in that article. I envisioned her wearing shells and like a pearly queen would.
Our first song up is by Barry Manilow with The Last Duet. We're featuring Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin?
Tomlin, yes.
Last chance you go to get no more harm.
That was Barry Manilow with The Last Duet. Right.
With Lily Tomlin.
Yes.
Who is? Who's Lily Tomlin?
So she's...
Who's Lily Tomlin?
Pass.
I want you to name one movie Lily Tomlin's been in.
Well,
I think someone needs a queer education, Matthew, can you name one movie that Lily Tomlin's been in, please?
And the Band Played On, this one.
Yep. Any other?
There was another one. She did one with
Bette Midler, where they were sisters.
Oh, yes, of course.
And the babies got swapped. Yep, Big Business. Tea with Mussolini, she was in that. 9 to 5? There we go. Oh, I think you need a queer education.
Right.
You're going to get queer educated later, I'm sure.
And she's lesbian.
And, yeah, she did one with that really famous lady from the 70s.
Yeah.
Frankie and something.
Yeah, and they're still working.
And they played like a lesbian couple, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry about that. Put me on the spot and you go, who sings this song?
Billie Jean King, Listen to Transgender Athletes. It's critical to listen to transgender athletes instead of trying to tell them how to feel or what they should do, says tennis legend Billie Jean King. Mm-hmm. King, a cisgender lesbian who's one of the most prominent women athletes of her time, gave a wide-ranging interview to UK newspaper The Telegraph last month, just ahead of the championship tournament at Wimbledon, which runs through Sunday. I don't think people have any idea of how hard it is for trans people, King said. Just listen to their stories. Listen, not tell them. Everyone is unique. Make them feel included, because you really don't know what every person... With every person I meet, I try to start with a blank, ask questions... And full stop, and then ask questions. I weren't doing the interview with you, I'd be bugging you with a lot of questions. Her remarks came at a time when trans athletes, especially trans women, are being attacked by Donald Trump's administration and many Republicans' state officials. King has been a long-time campaigner for social justice and equity, and equality. The Telegraph notes she was instrumental in pushing the equal prize money for men and women at the US Open in 1973, the same year her battle of the sexes victory over Bobby Riggs, irreversibly shift public perception of women's athleticism. She won her first Wimbledon title in 1961 in doubles when she was 17. She has won a total of 20 Wimbledon titles, including singles and doubles, as well as many other championships. Well done. And I hope hope the message gets through to people.
Very cool.
But yes, at least the good thing is Wimbledon being in the UK should be all right. There we go. But we're going to head down to another song. This song is by Cheryl Wright with He's a Good Old Boy.
Is he though?
I know. We'll listen to the song and we'll see.
He's a good old boy, good for nothing, good at lying, good at loving, good at leaving. When the rent comes due, he's a good old boy and I'm a good old girl, so I'll give him to you.
Oh, we're back on the shelf.
He's a good old boy.
Is he a good old boy?
I don't know. Did the song answer that question or not? I'm not sure.
No.
Okay.
I think I blanked out. Whose hands are these?
So the US government is further erasing LGBTQ plus history after removing mention of bisexual people from the Stonewall National Monument website. Oh, my Lord. A website for the New York Monument, which commemorates the historic 1969 riots outside the Stonewall Inn, led by trans women of colour, was seemingly removed mention of bisexual people from its official description. It comes after the National Park Service, following President Trump's series of executive orders targeting diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in the public and private sectors, removed mention of trans people from the website in February, prompting widespread outrage from the LGBTQ plus people around the world. My God. Archived versions of the website from the Internet Archive's Wayback Machine, that's rather cool, show that a description of the monument, which features hundreds of pride flags across a fence in front of the Stonewall Inn, replaced the acronym LGBTQ plus with LGB. Further modifications initially reported by independent reporter Aaron Reed and seemingly made in April have removed the acronym altogether, claiming that only lesbian and gay people were involved in the historic riots.
Really?
There are now only two mentions of bisexual people on the entire official website compared to the eight before the modifications were made. It's bleeding appalling.
All right. Well, that doesn't surprise me. It goes along with the whole what they're doing, but
it's the current trend, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, unfortunately, we risk doing the same sort of thing here with the anti-woke moves.
Yes.
With old Winnie.
Hmm.
Well, we'll see how Winnie goes with that.
The Schmuckmeister himself.
All right. Well, lesbians and gays, they're everywhere, right?
Hmm.
Anyway, our next song up is by Joan Jett with Do You Want to Touch Me?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Okay.
Trying to get along, pretending that you
was Joan Jett with Do You Want to Touch Me?
So we were just talking off ear that, no, I don't want to touch you, but also that's one of those songs that is in a bunch of movies or a bunch of, and you're like, oh my God, where have I heard that before? Where have I heard that before? Mm-hmm. That's where we've heard it before.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to do your article?
He's just done his.
I did mine, yeah.
Jeez, I just zoned out there, didn't I?
Yes.
Goodness me. Shall I do this one?
Go for it. What have you
got? Alrighty. Netflix has announced that Queer Eye will wrap with season 10, the final season of Queer Eye, also known as Queer Eye for the Straight Guy back in the day.
Yes.
Is officially in production, they wrote. It's the longest running unscripted Netflix series and has received 11 Emmy wins and 37 nominations. Production has begun on the final season of in Washington, D.C. The final season will celebrate the show's legacy and impact. A press release said, the way things are in America right now, we couldn't think of a better way for the series to bow out. Interesting. More than a makeover show, Queer Eye has been a touchstone and connection point for the LGBT plus community worldwide. The reboot hit was based off the 2003 to 2007 Bravo series, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, which saw five gay New York style experts use their expertise to give straight men makeovers. I think there's only one or two of them that are still really well known now.
Yes, you got the famous Carson Kressley, regular on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yep, and Jay Rodriguez, I keep seeing on some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure the others were lovely, though. I think the hair one was quite pretty. Premiering in 2018 on Netflix, Queer Eye focused on a different city in need with a new Fab Five. Improving the lives of LGBTQ plus people, LGBTQ plus individual or allies in need. In a time when America stands divided and the future seems uncertain, the reboot's producers said that the statement to Entertainment Weekly, a team of five brave men will try to bring us closer together with laughter, heart, and just the right amount of moisturizer. The Emmy Award winner, Queer Eye is back and ready to make America fabulous again. With a new Fab Five, so they've recast it, and the show's toughest missions to date, Queer Eye moved from the Big Apple to turn the red states pink, one makeover at a time. The ninth season saw the crew head to Sin City with interior designer Jeremiah Brent joining the cast and replacing Bobby Burke. Over the 10 seasons, cast members included food and wine expert Anthony Parawoski, design chief Bobby Burke, now Jeremiah Brent, superstar grooming guru Jonathan Van Ness, culture and lifestyle specialist Karomo Brown, and fashion connoisseur Tan France. When Queer Eye won its first Emmy for Outstanding Structure Reality Program at the Creative Arts creator and executive producer David Collins spoke of the show's importance. This show is important. Thank you for the Fab Five. Thank you for what this Fab Five are doing to help the LGBT movement, he said while accepting the award. When the cast of Queer Eye came to Australia, they were crowned Yas Queens by the mayor of rural South Wales town of Yas. Okay, that's weird. So they've got a town called Yas, and they were crowned the Yas Queens. Oh, my God.
As opposed to Yas Queens.
Takarama. Mayor Rowena Abbey presented the boys with some shiny headgear to commemorate their trip filming in Yas. Let's say that all together on the count of three. One, two, three. Yas. Vomit. Their 12-hour visit to the town was turned into a mini-episode of the show released on social media during season two. We don't yet know when season 10 of Netflix series will drop, but we can't wait to watch the cast do their thing one last time, connecting the community and helping to build up everyone one makeover at a time. At least we can go back and watch past episodes on Netflix while we wait. I just want to clarify there, the Yas thing, it's just when you round certain people and you hear it 100 times a day, It's annoying. Yeah. Or when straight people go, oh, you're a drag queen. Yes. No.
No.
No,
it's just no. Don't do that.
No. Right. Into yeah. a song.
I mean, I've seen a little bit of that Jonathan Van Ness. It seems okay.
Yeah.
I can't call myself a fan, but he's the only one that I recognise from the whole troupe.
Yeah.
The current one. I think the best thing I've seen of him was a takeoff of him in...
a Snatch Game or something.
In the Snatch Game. Yeah. And then I wasn't a fan either.
Yeah. No. Not my jam, but no. Hey, whatever works for you.
Yes, I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes you just can't beat the original.
I think the original.
I think the original, five, although yeah. it would look older now because of how it was filmed and technology and filming stuff. But I still think Carson, like it's, yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, I was given a quote. They have a book out as well
from
back in the day. And I was, someone found a secondhand copy of it and gave it to me. And that's really, really cool. But it was groundbreaking at the time, and now it just feels a little, yeah.
Yeah.
But then the way things are heading in the States, who knows, you know.
Hold on to that book, it could.
I think the way things are heading to the States is just ridiculous. I think some gay Americans should come over here and chill.
Yes.
Well.
I mean, that would wind up Uncle Winnie, but you know.
If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information.
Right, we have next song up is Rufus Wainwright.
Oh, nice.
With King of the Road.
Oh, it's one of his classics.
Rufus Wainwright with King of the Road.
So Rufus Wainwright, just a little bit of history. I'm just going to test your knowledge there, Mitch. been gay for a long time? Or is he just sort of one of the allies?
No, he's gay.
Yeah. But he's been around for quite some time?
He has been around for a while, but...
70s? Yeah,
not out for a long time.
No, but say from the 70s onwards?
No, he's not that old.
80s onwards?
Yeah.
No, that's cool. Just, yeah. So, his name pops up every now and again, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Nice. Yep. But that song's been around for longer.
Oh, that song's way before him.
Yeah. Because I keep thinking about singing it for like cabaret nights and stuff, but then there's a line about the nice mics, and I'm like, well, I don't know how they'd go down well. Right. Do you want to do your one?
Okay, all right. The Tasmanians, bless them.
Little devils.
Okay, two of Tasmania's most prominent LGBTQ IQ+ organisations are urging the state's political leaders to take swift, meaningful action to address serious mental health inequalities and outdated laws that continue to harm the community. Despite the commitments from the three major parties to any key reforms, they say more is needed to be done for the LGBTQIA+ community in Tasmania. Work It Out and Equality Tasmania, both long-standing advocates for LGBTIQA+ rights, have welcomed recent commitments from Tasmania's three major parties, Labor, Liberal and the Greens, as well as several independents, to implement the key reforms in the state. They include stronger hate crime legislation, a ban on conversion practices, and financial redress for victims of historical laws that criminalised homosexuality and cross-dressing. The parties have also pledged support for a whole-of-government LGBTIQA+ action plan and improved training for healthcare workers in LGBTIQA+ issues. However, both organisations stress that the critical gaps remain, particularly in the area of mental health services. These local organisations are now calling for urgent action on mental health care to better serve the community. There you go. Tasmania needs a dedicated LGBTIQA+ mental health service. Wow. And Working It Out CEO Olivia Hogarth. National research shows levels of mental health among young LGBTQI+ Tasmanians due to stigma and discrimination is the worst in the nation. Local and national research also indicates the demand for a dedicated community-led service which addresses the barriers often experienced by LGBTIQA+ people when seeking mainstream services. It would be good to see if that kind of research done here, to see if that's an issue here as well.
Right. The next song up is by Chris Houseman with Nobody.
No one knows me like you do. No regrets in loving you. Found my forever just ended too soon. I bet that when you cut it off, you thought that I'd be moving on. Well, I know you hate being wrong. Baby, you let me go, but you can't set me free. 'Cause if it ain't you, it ain't nobody. If it ain't you, it ain't nobody. I guess guess the love's not in the cards. If your name ain't written in my stars, you are the one for me. Hate that it's true. Even if I ain't the one for you, baby, you let me go, but you can't set me free. Cause if it ain't you, it ain't nobody. So maybe that habit ever after love's not for me. Cause if it ain't you, it ain't nobody. If it ain't you, it ain't nobody. So maybe that habit ever after love's not for me. Cause if it ain't you, it ain't nobody.
Was Chris Houseman with Nobody.
That's nice. I do like a bit of country.
Country.
I do. I've been listening to a little bit of Tammy Nielsen lately.
Oh, cool.
Ooh, she's Kiwi. She sounds American, but she's Kiwi. She does a really cool song with Willie Nelson. So if you'd like a bit of country. I also like a bit of weird religious stuff every now and again. I love me a nun story, and I've just been slipped a Pope story.
Ooh.
Oh, Pope Leo will bless people in same-sex unions, despite having once decreed that decried the homosexual lifestyle. The new Pope will continue to bless people who are part of a same-sex couple, according to the head of the Vatican's Doctrine Office. Asked by a journalist if Pope Leo would revoke the blessings put in place by the late Pope Francis, Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez reportedly replied, "I really don't think so. The declaration will remain." In 2003, Pope Francis approved the blessing of people in same-sex unions, realizing a declaration through the Vatican's Office of the Doctrine of the Faith that allowed priests to do so for the first time. The declaration did not amend the traditional doctrine of the Church about marriage, Fernandez said at the time, because there is no liturgical, that's the word I'm going to go with, right, that would be confused with the marriage sacrament. The Church still maintains that marriage can only be between a man and a woman, and the document explains the form of the blessing should not be fixed ritual by ecclesial authorities to avoid producing confusion with blessing proper to the sacrament of marriage. Ultimately, a blessing offers people a means to increase their trust in God, Fernandez wrote at the same time. The quest for a blessing thus expresses the nature's openness to transcendence, mercy, and closeness to God in thousand concrete circumstances of life, which is no longer a small thing in the world. There we go. The Pope I'm going to skip parts of this article because it's written very. We pray that in 13 years, and that have passed, 12 of which are under the papacy of Pope Francis, that his heart and mind have developed more progressively on LGBTQ+ issues, said Francis Dubin DiBernardo, executive director of the New Ways of Ministry, a Catholic LGBTQ+ ministry. After his election had been announced, We will wait and see attitude to see what happens. There we go. That was written. That is. You have a read of that. It's a hard article to read.
It is.
I do like things about nuns. If you've got a thing about Nuns on the Run, one of my favourite movies.
And I did hear that you, in your repertoire of things, you yourself may have played a...
I was a man of the cloth and something, yes.
A clergyman.
A clergyman, and technically, if we're talking about our characters, I did meet the Pope.
Yes.
Good times. That was actually, I really enjoyed that. There's a movie called The Pope Must Die as well. Top movie. You need to watch it. Nuns on the Run, Pope Must Die. I love a nun or a Pope movie.
As well.
Oh, anything to do with those ones. I think it all started with Sound of Music.
Yeah.
So Sound of Music, amazing. I've always loved stuff about nuns and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Maybe that's why I'm gay.
Well, sure. We'll let you think that.
Okay, that's the reason.
Right, it could be a sparkly habit and I'm there.
The next song up is Two Tons of Fun.
See, they would be amazing nuns.
Earth Can Be Just Like Heaven.
They would be amazing nuns.
Thank you.
Yeah, mate.
So, Two Tons of Fun ended up becoming with the girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
When there were Two Tons of Fun, there were backing singers for Sylvester.
Wow. So, Sylvester was,
just
for the people that don't
read. Sylvester was the 1970s disco diva. He was out, he was proud, he was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Harvey Milk was a huge fan of his. Had lots and lots.
It's so funny how they're all interconnected like that as well.
He performed at Studio 54. He was all into that whole thing. So he would have been connected with the likes of, you know, Cher back then. And, of course,
I have a weird question.
Crowd,
I have a weird question, and I'm going to have to Google it because I don't know if you'll know the answer. You know, Studio 54, was there ever a Studio 53?
I don't think
How did they pick that number?
I do not know. I don't know.
I'm going to Google that now.
Yeah, Google that. Check it out. Why did they call it Studio 54?
Right, we have time for one more quick article.
Okay, so the UN Human Rights Council has voted to renew its mandate of an LGBTQ rights expert, a move welcomed by advocates and amid the absence of the United States, a former key supporter that is now rolling back such protections. Western diplomats had previously voiced concerns about the renewal of the mandates of South African scholar Graham Reed, who helps to boost protections by documenting abuse and through dialogue with countries. The motion for a three-year renewal passed with 29 votes in favour and 15 against. Interesting to note that the supporters included Chile, Germany, Kenya, and South Africa, while several of the African nations and Qatar opposed it. The United States, which is disengaged from the council under President Donald Trump, citing an alleged anti-Semitic bias, was previously a supporter of the mandate under the Biden administration. Since taking office in January, Trump has signed executive orders to curb transgender rights and dismantle diversity, equity, and inclusion practices in the government and private sector. His administration says such steps restore fairness, but civil rights and LGBTQ advocates say they make marginalised groups more vulnerable. In negotiations before the vote, Pakistan voiced opposition to the resolution on behalf of Muslim group OIC, calling it a tool to advocate controversial views.
Alrighty, so in answer to a question earlier post before that article, Studio 54 was called simply Studio 54 because it was located at 254 West and 54th Street in New York City.
I did wonder if it was the address.
The name was suggested by a friend of its owner, Steve Rebell, and his business partner, Ian Schrager. Schrager. Interesting movie, if you do... Yeah,
I think
interesting
it's been
movie.
On Netflix, hasn't it?
Yeah, we watched a thing on must be online. I remember us watching thing about there was a documentary on them around following from what happened, and it was actually all very interesting.
Yeah, with the movie had Ryan Phillippe and Mike Myers in it, and a bunch of other like famous people, but Mike Myers' character always intrigued me in it. Just the drug situation was quite interesting.
Right.
But yes, no, good movie. That would have been an interesting time to...
Yes. So, well, we are all out of time now.
Are we, though?
Yeah, we are, because we've got our last song.
We're out of time for this recording.
Chapel Roan.
Oh.
Good Luck, Babe.
Is it not Pink Pony Club?
No.
Okay.
So, literally 10 seconds. Words for the people.
All right, you go. Words for the people.
Stay fabulous, everyone. Keep warm, keep dry, and stay a little bit weird. It makes you interesting.
Beautiful.
I don't have any infinite words for the people. But just
fingers crossed, Sky will be back from his permafication.
Yes.
Giving into his green fingers.
Don't let the man get you down. There we go. Drink some water, have your vitamins. Don't let the man get you down. Stay safe, stay proud.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.